Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. The title of the message today is The Heart. The Heart. We're going to take a look at old Pharaoh as we go through the life of Moses and the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. And what was his problem? Well, his problem was the heart. Let's stand as we read Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go." Again, let us pray. Dr. Anthony Hardin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now, the text that we just read is right after the first six plagues that God had inflicted upon the nation of Egypt and upon Pharaoh. And I do want to back up, and I want to cover these plagues before we go forward. And just see what God is doing. And I want you to understand why God is doing what He's doing. He's doing this, or He's inflicting these plagues to get the attention of Pharaoh. With each plague, it's a message saying, "Listen, I am God. Listen, I am God." And so the purpose of the plague is to bring Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt to the point where they realize who God is and what God can do. And we start the message today with a great delusion. And the delusion starts with the plagues. Okay? And if we go back in, starting in chapter 7, the first plague was water into blood. Moses goes out and they strike the water, and all the fresh water becomes blood. Even the water in their water buckets became blood. And so all that the people of Egypt had to drink was blood. Can you imagine the inconvenience, the nastiness? The fish in the river died. It stank. It was a nasty, filthy mess. Can you imagine how terrible that was? And you know what it says at the end of that episode, or at the end of that plague? It says, speaking about Pharaoh, it said, "Pharaoh's heart was not moved." I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, hey, I would be looking for an answer, not Pharaoh. So we go from water into blood, from having the water changed into blood, to the plague of frogs. How many of you like frogs? I dream of them every night. I want to sleep with them. I want to live with them. I want to... No. Absolutely. That's silly. Right? God sends a plague, the plague of frogs, so that the frogs come up out of the river. And the frogs go into their houses, go into their bedrooms, get in their beds. Can you imagine sleeping with the frogs? Get into their beds, get into their ovens, get into their bowls. They get into everything. So this kind of gets to Pharaoh just a little bit. Pharaoh cries out, calls for Moses, says, "Moses, entreat the Lord, take away these frogs, please." So Moses does. He prays to the Lord. God takes away the frogs. And when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, the Bible says he hardened his heart and did not let Israel go. So let's take it another step. God sends a plague of lice after the frogs. They struck the dust with the rod of Aaron, and it says literally the dust became lice. Ugh. That's as bad as frogs. Lice was on everything. It was on the people. It was on the animals. It was everywhere. Lice. Even the magicians of Pharaoh, when they saw this great feat, they had been trying to copy the things that God had done up to this point. But even the magicians of Pharaoh backed up and said, "Man, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God." Chapter 8, verse 19. Pharaoh's heart grew hard. So let's take it another step. The plague of flies. The Bible says a thick swarm of flies fill the land and fill the houses. Flies are just nasty, aren't they? Can you imagine? You know, I mean, we worry with that bothersome one or two house flies. Can you imagine your house being filled with flies? God filled the land with flies. Pharaoh once again asked Moses, "Moses, please remove the flies. We need relief." So Moses goes to God in prayer. And God removes the flies. And it says, Pharaoh, you'd never guess, hardened his heart. And he did not let the children of Israel go. Then we go to the disease of the livestock. God sends another plague, and this plague it kills all the livestock of the land of Egypt, and they went to Goshen where the Israelites were at that time, and they noticed immediately that God had made a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. All the Israelites' flocks were fine, but in the land of Egypt, all their livestock died. And as if that weren't enough, God sends another plague. The plague of boils. Sores broke out on men and beasts. So much so that this time the magicians who had been trying to take their stand before Moses and the acts of God, it said the magicians couldn't even stand. They couldn't even come that day because they were covered in boils. What an encouraging message, huh? Then, at the end of that plague, says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You say, back up and say, "That's not fair, Brother Doug. Why would God do that?" I want to tell you, you can go too far. Okay? You can go too far. But what I want to point out to you is the pattern that was established through each of these six plagues. You see, each of these plagues are a warning, a heads up, a listen to me from God. You remember Moses initially appeared before Pharaoh and gave Pharaoh God's message. Said, "The Lord God of Israel has said, let my people go." And you remember what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I would obey him? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let the children of Israel go." The pride that he was filled with is absolutely astounding. It was a stubborn mindset that established a pattern of stubborn resistance against God no matter what God did. Verse 17 says, "As yet, you exalt yourself The Hebrew word as yet means a continuance. He's saying, one thing, you are consistent, Pharaoh. Everything I do gets the same response. You resist God. Pharaoh's mentality was, I will not be moved. I will not respond to the God of Israel. I am Pharaoh. No one tells me what I will and what I will not do. You know what Pharaoh's problem was? He was delusional. He thought himself to be a god, and he thought he could do anything he wanted to do, and there was nothing God or anyone else could do about it. That's delusional. Okay? Oh, but doesn't that sound familiar? Much like the generation in which we live today, the pattern of our nation is the pattern of our generation is the same. It is a pattern of hard-heartedness, a refusal to move at the call of God, a pattern that says, it's my life, I'll do whatever I want to do. A nation where the issue now is transgender bathrooms. A nation where same-sex marriage has become accepted. A nation who has all but discarded the sanctity of marriage itself. Who questions the existence of God. Who challenges the inspiration of the Scriptures. Who have this attitude. I'll do what I want to do and I'll live like I want to live. My friends, I want to offer you this. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, most people think and that there's nothing, you know, God's not going to do anything. You're wrong. You can fight God every step of the way. There are people here in this congregation today who have no doubt heard God's call on their life. But yet, their response has been the same. No God, not now. No God, not today. No God, no God, no. Let me remind you, God is God. You're not. And to think that you can stand against the power of the Almighty is a delusion that has been sent straight from Satan himself. God's God. Now, I'm sure there's no one in this congregation who would claim to be a God. I would hope not. I hope you're not that far gone. But I do want you to understand that when you refuse to move at the direction of the God, you're doing the same thing that Pharaoh has done. No, God. Who are you to tell God no? You can't get away with that. You see, it's built on pride and as I said, delusion, and it will lead to a terrible destruction. In the text that we read, the Lord said, at this time, I will send my plagues to your very, what? Heart. And it's like God said, okay, Pharaoh, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I look at our nation and quite honestly, I'm afraid. As I consider the past 20 years. I've often wondered if some of the events have not been these warnings from God. I'm God, listen to me. 9/11, some years ago, you know, that day where we can all remember where we were and even what we were doing when we heard the news or saw the news and those twin towers fall. And that day after, Congress met on the steps of Congress and had prayer. Within a year, they're fighting for rights of homosexuals and same-sex marriage. And I'm thinking, have you lost your mind? God is God. You see, God's told Pharaoh, now if I had stretched out, verse 15, now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. He's saying, God's saying, I could have wiped you out from the very beginning. With a stroke of my hand, I could have wiped you off the face of the earth, and I could have taken my children wherever I wanted to take them. But if I had, you would have been long forgotten. So I've brought you to this point. I've raised you up that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. That you may know that I may show my power. That my name may be declared in all the earth. You see what he's saying to Pharaoh and his stubborn pride is, when I'm finished, I will get the glory. But you think about that. When God is finished, He'll get the glory. You see, Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I said, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. If we are a people today who refuse to acknowledge God, don't think we'll get away with it tomorrow. There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Everyone, those who stand today and declare there is no God, those who stand today and say, I'll pick my own lifestyle, those who stand today and refuse to answer God's call, one of these days you will bow. Because He's God. He will receive the glory. You see, there is a general feeling in the world today that God won't judge sin. God's too loving. He doesn't do that anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. You're wrong. God's the same today as He was 4,000 years ago. But here's what you've got to understand. You say, well, why hasn't God done anything about it? 2 Peter 3:10-11. Actually, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His... I'm going to have to read. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why God doesn't wipe us off the map? He wants us to come to repentance. He's come to me. It never was intended. He didn't create you to be a battle. He didn't create you to make your life miserable. He didn't create you. He created you to have a relationship with Him. And He's given you time. And He's laid this time before you and says, come unto me. Come to me. Respond to me for salvation. I gave my Son. Come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden. But one of these days, the final second of the clock's going to tick. And then, beloved, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? One of these days it's going to end. Knowing what you know, we often say, I've read the back of the book, and we win. And we do win. But knowing what we know, what kind of life should we live? Why fight the Lord? You see, I fear that in today's world, there's a great misunderstanding. And when Christians take their stand, their stand against immorality. And as we read Romans chapter 1 and we go through the list, and I want to tell you, that's a big list in Romans chapter 1. We try to single out homosexuality out of that list, and don't misunderstand me, homosexuality is wrong, but there's a lot more to that list than homosexuality. A lot of immorality. God says none of it. None of it should belong in the life of a child of God. But see, here's my fear. My fear is that as we take a stand and say these practices and these lifestyles are not acceptable before God, the world backs up and points a finger at us and say, you're just a bigot. You're narrow-minded, old-fashioned, haters of people. No, listen. Please listen. It's not true. It's not me, nor anyone in this congregation at Victory who has declared certain things to be wrong and certain things to be right. It is the Word of God. It is God Himself who has denounced homosexuality, who has judged and determined adultery is wrong, sex outside of marriage is wrong, living together, you know. The list goes on and on. But it's God who says, no, no, no. It's God. Not Doug Hambrick. Not anybody in this congregation. So don't point your fingers at the church today and say, y'all are just out of touch. You know what we're doing? We're sounding the alarm. See, if I were today to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a fire at the other end of this building, and we've got to get out. So please stand. And let's be calm and let's file out and go out the outside doors and get ourselves to safety. Would you say, thank you, Brother Doug, for giving us that information? Or if I knew there was a fire in the other end of the building and I thought, well, I've got time to preach this message. We've got a little longer. Meanwhile, the fire is getting closer. Until it came to the point where it was too late. Would you say, thank you, Brother Doug, for not getting us out, because I was really comfortable sitting where I was? Brother Hambrick, that's just ridiculous. Yes, we would want you to say, get us out. Get us out of here. See, that's what we're doing as children of God. We're saying, judgment is coming. People don't think God will judge. He has always judged sin, and He always will judge sin. And my friend, the only way to escape the wrath of God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? We go on to God's judgment as it's delivered. Oh my goodness, it gets ugly as God goes to the heart. He pours out hail mingled with fire. That hail struck man and beast and herbs and trees, and it devastated everything. Pharaoh calls to Moses, I've sinned. Moses, I've sinned. Entreat the Lord. Take away this hail. And when Pharaoh saw the hail ceased, he hardened his heart. So God sent locusts. The locusts filled their houses. The locusts covered the ground so that they couldn't even see the ground. That's a lot of locusts. They ate the remaining vegetation in the trees. Pharaoh's servants come before him and say, "Pharaoh, do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Don't you see? Don't you know? You've got to do something." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Then God sent a plague of darkness. I see the prophetic hand here, the truth of God as He sent a darkness that the Bible says you could feel. That's dark. That's dark. And it was so dark that no one for 3 days left their place. No one got out of bed because they couldn't see where to go. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. This whole time, Pharaoh's harder and harder and harder, and he's getting farther and farther and farther. "I'm Pharaoh. I'll do what I want to do. I will be what I want to be. No one or nothing has the right to tell me what to do." And then we get to the death that went to the very heart of Pharaoh. The death of the firstborn. You see, God sent His death angel one night. And as that death angel passed through, every firstborn of all the land of Egypt died. Except those who had had the blood applied to their doorpost. You see, it was at that very same time that God instituted the Passover, and He told them they were to sacrifice a Passover lamb and that they were to put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and on the sides of the door. And God told them, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over that family." So the time came when the death angel passed through. Pharaoh, from the firstborn of Pharaoh's house to the firstborn of every servant in Egypt, down to the very firstborn of all the animals, died. And the Bible says there was not a house in which there was not one dead. But there were a group of people there who escaped the judgment. Those people whom had put the blood on their doorposts. You see, the death angel didn't visit there. Passed by because of the blood. I want you to understand today, you may be a pretty good person, but you're not good enough to make it to heaven. The only way there is to heaven is Jesus Christ. You see, I want to sound the alarm today. The alarm is that everyone's going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. One day you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, "Oh, but God, I was a good person. I was a member of this club. I supported that group. God, I did the best I could." Not going to be good enough. You know who's going to be in heaven? Those who have called upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, that picture of the Passover, that picture of the blood that was applied to the doorpost was pointing 4,000 years in advance when Jesus would shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary and say, "Whosoever shall call upon Me shall be saved." You see, that's the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Are you saved? Or are you like Pharaoh? You've been fighting every step of the way, knowing what you should do, knowing you needed to respond to God. God calls and deals with you every time you walk into a church door. Every day, God sends some message in some subtle way that listen, you need to be saved. Every day, you resist. Your heart gets harder, 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 and harder. You know what's really interesting? Is after this death angel passed through, Pharaoh calls Moses and he says, he says, go out from among us. Get out. Get out. You, your children, your animals, go serve your God. Get out. But what's really interesting is that after he told them, get out, you know what he said? He said, and bless me also. Wait a minute. And bless me also. Boy, something happened in the heart of Pharaoh. It's in verse 32 of chapter 12. It said, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone. Oh, and bless me also. You see a little change in Pharaoh there. But you know what? It was too late. It was too late. His house had been judged. He had experienced and refused the power of God in his life. And then after it's smoke's cleared, oh Moses, bless me also. One of these days, friends, it's going to be too late. You'll fight against the Lord and fight against the Lord and refuse and refuse. And until one day, it's too late. Number one, are you a child of God? Are you? I mean, really. Some of you, it may be an issue that you've been dealing with for a very long time, doubts and questions and fears. Listen, you need to get that taken care of. It's too important. It's too important to let go. Number two. Are you the child of God that He's called you to be? Okay? Are you serving where you're supposed to serve, or are you fighting? Oh, no, one of these days. No, listen. Where's God want you? What does God want you to be doing? Are you doing it? Finally, we've come to the point of invitation. God's call. He says, come. He says, come. And you're going to have to make a decision. One or two choices. Yes, Lord. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll be what You want me to be. Or no, Lord. No, not anymore. No, Lord. If you say no, Lord, I just want to remind you, You're not God. And your God only wants the best for you. So will you please stop? Will you please consider? God knows what He's doing, and He's too great to tell no. Our Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word and Your reminder today. And Lord, we look at the stubbornness of Pharaoh, and we're reminded of our own stubbornness. So oftentimes, Lord, we run from You. We refuse You. And we think it's our call when it's not. Lord, help us as Your servants to be responsive to You. And we pray for our nation. We know that there is sin all around. And so, Lord, as we bow before You, we pray that You'd send revival, but let that revival start in us at Victory Baptist Church with a renewed zeal, a renewed dedication, a renewed desire for Your will in our lives. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your faithfulness and Your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.